Our gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, New Revised Standard Version. There's a link above. There's a link above, but you can also read right here on your screen. Listen for the gospel of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this gift of your word that you will use to speak to us and through us. Please guide us as we hear and help us to come to recognize more of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. This is traditionally the Sunday, as far as I've seen, the Sunday where Doubting Thomas shows up. Doubting Thomas, or it's kind of a pejorative. People have long gone, "Well, why didn't Thomas just believe?" But honestly, I think Thomas is like all of us. Like, Thomas is perfectly reasonable. He believes that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, because what evidence could there possibly be that would overwhelm the fact that we know that people don't rise from the dead, right? Thomas, I wonder if he's kind of a stand-in for us. In fact, I think he is. But there's something interesting about what happens here that I hadn't noticed before. The first time, Jesus appears to 11 of the disciples, right? And then the second time, he appears to all of them, including Thomas. Why not just make a special trip just to see Thomas? I mean, if it's just about Thomas, right? That's the question that bugs me here. Caravaggio, if I remember correctly. The painting of Thomas trying to put his fingers in the nail, in where the nail prints are. A week later, Jesus' disciples were in the house. Thomas was with them. But why? Why is Thomas there? Why is Thomas in the room? I mean, sorry, not Thomas. Why is everybody else still there? What's happening here? One of my favorite tactics for going in deeper into the Bible is just to look at it and go, "What in the world is going on here? Why is this happening?" Just to keep going in and asking why. And as I started thinking about it, I thought, maybe the reason that Thomas doesn't get a solo appearance is because Thomas wasn't the only one who needed convincing. My goodness, there's an apologetics argument that, well, we know Jesus was raised from the dead because all the disciples didn't deny that Jesus was raised from the dead. Thomas is one of these disciples. He knows them. They tried to tell him, and he didn't believe them. So if that argument falls a little hard on your ears, that's probably okay. When Jesus comes back the second time, he appears to all of them. Oh, and also, you would think, I'm going somewhere with this, you would think that you've seen how John 20 ends, right? Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so you may come to believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The end. Wrong. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Like, this is the ending that won't end. Like, if you... seen or heard about the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings series, one of the things people complained about was that he just kept going. The ending just wouldn't end, which is where the title for this sermon came from. The ending just won't end, right? Jesus appears after the resurrection to the disciples in the book of John a total of three times. Jesus appears three times to the disciples in John. He just keeps popping back up. It's like, peace, guys, and bye, and then he just keeps, you know, he just keeps showing back up. And once again, that question, why? Why does Jesus keep popping back up after the credits roll? And I think maybe it's because the disciples just keep doing stuff. For example, if we flip back a couple slides here, the disciples, right, they keep doing stuff. There we go. After Jesus appears for the first time to his disciples, right? Jesus appears, and they know that he's been resurrected. And then they tell Thomas, hey, Jesus has been resurrected! And then Thomas, of all things, comes back in. Thomas comes back, and a week later, they're still in the same room. Jesus has been resurrected, everything has changed, this world-shaking, earth-shattering, nothing is the same, and the disciples are still in the same room a week later, so clearly they needed this. Maybe the reason Jesus keeps coming back is, if you look in chapter 21, come on. That's actually verse 3. Simon Peter says to the other disciples, I'm going fishing. What? Why is Simon going fishing? Christ is risen. Everything has changed. There's this earth-shattering, world-shaking thing that has happened, and nothing is the same. And Peter goes, you know what I'm going to do? You know what seems like a good thing to do today? Fishing. That's a good plan. Fishing. Who can fish when Christ is risen? Who can fish when Christ is risen? I mean, lots of people. Actually, today nobody can fish because of the governor's order. Well, unless they're in like a paddling boat. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But remember, though, back when Jesus calls Peter in Matthew 4:19, he says, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. Well, now, after Christ is risen, earth-shattering, world-shaking, change in the universe, Peter says, I'm going fishing. They've been hanging out in this room. A week later, they're still hanging out in the room, and now they're going fishing. People want to put the disciples up on a pedestal because they hung out with Jesus, but they are so like us. Jesus keeps showing up for them, and they just keep going back to business as usual. Like, when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about myself here. If you resemble that, that's on you. But this is me, okay? But I found this to be true. No matter what I do, I just keep going back to business as usual and forgetting the resurrection. No matter what I do, Jesus just keeps coming back for me. But I don't need to tell you this. You've lived this. No matter how much you screw up and... if you're anything like me, you've screwed up quite a few times. No matter how much you screw up, God just keeps coming back for you too. God just keeps coming back for you too. And if you look back in the Bible, this is sort of a pattern with God. People keep being human, like the song said. People just keep being human, and God just keeps coming back for them. I remember in Sunday school quite a few years ago, I saw this clip of the cycle of sin in Judges. Israel serves the Lord, and then they fall into sin and idolatry, and then they're enslaved, they cry to God, God raises up a judge, Israel's delivered, and then Israel serves God again, right? And I think that... Hush, little love. And I think there is a... I think this cycle on this PowerPoint slide is a little wrong, because it keeps putting Israel screws up sort of toward the top. So I made a different version of this. Honey, can I have my PowerPoint back? Can I have my PowerPoint? Thanks. There we go. So I think a better version to do this would be where God sends a judge to deliver Israel. The version that I heard is no matter how many times God delivers Israel, they keep falling back into idolatry. But in reality, no matter how many times Israel keeps falling back into idolatry, God keeps delivering them. And it's all about, what are you going to focus on? Are we going to focus on how often we screw up? Are we going to focus on how often God comes back and keeps rescuing us? God just comes back and keeps rescuing us and undoing the myriad ways we find to screw things up. There's a story, speaking of Jesus' death and resurrection, about Judas. Y'all know Judas, right? He betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and then Jesus gets executed. And then after Jesus is executed, Judas realizes what he's done. He returns the 30 pieces of silver, throws them on the floor of the temple, and runs out and hangs himself. And it's this horrible ending for one of Jesus' disciples. But there's a story I read I think it was last year, and I've told this last year when I was preaching on the book The Sunflower, about forgiveness. And it's the story of what happens to Judas after he dies. And is it true? Who knows? The earliest mention I found of it was a book from 1919. There's this book from 1919. Maybe it's before that, I don't know. But in that book, it's called A Legend. So I haven't been able to track down the original far source. That might have been it. Anyway, the story goes... Ryan?
No!
The story goes that after Judas dies, his soul goes wandering through abyss to abyss to abyss. And his soul is just traveling, and it's lost, and he's been cast out. He doesn't know what to do or anything. He's just heartbroken for having betrayed Jesus. And after eternities and eternities, Judas's soul comes and finds its way near the outskirts of heaven. And there's a glow at a window, and it draws him in, and he comes closer and closer to this window. And inside, he sees Jesus about to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion, with his disciples one more time. And there's an empty seat. And Judas looks in and sees Jesus beckoning. And Judas is awestruck, and the door opens, and Judas walks in through the door. Sorry, we have a small child. Judas walks in through the door, and Jesus says to him, "I'm glad you've come. We have waited for you." Jesus says, "We have waited for you I could not serve my guests supper until you were here.
Mama, I got a rock.
Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of our God, or who has been his counselor? Who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For through him and from him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.